Hey, everybody. I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious Podcast, the show that's taking the woo and making it woohoo.
Woohoo. And today we're talking about ways that you can take action to have more magic in your life.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. You ready?
Okay. And action. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Jane, we're back. We're back from taking a couple weeks off.
We're back.
My microphone had dust on it.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Glad we're fixing that right now.
Yep. Got to break her out. We've been traveling, watching eclipses. You've been planning all kinds of stuff, purchasing big items.
Potentially. Still not sure. And you were in the city that never sleeps with your family.
I know. Yeah, that was really amazing. Fun little break with my sweet family. Nice little getaway, change of pace.
So fun.
Creating some memories. Yeah. And then we're getting ready for our second season here. We have this knockout guest list. That we'll be sharing at some point soon, but it's just kind of unbelievable. All of these wants and wishes from all these guests that we've been dreaming about, and it's kind of happening. It's really exciting.
It's true. They all kind of fluttered into our inboxes like in the same week. We're like, whoa, we reached out and then suddenly everyone was saying yes. So we're like, okay, team, let's do this. Yeah. So yeah, we'll be more specific about who's coming on soon, but just know we're like all of Twitter. All enjoyed. Overjoyed? Yeah. All enjoyed.
So what are your hopes for the second season, Jane?
Oh, man. Well, I feel like first of all, it's so much fun to be on the daily with you, my friend Sarah. And it's so crazy when people come back to us with their like, this helped, or I was thinking about this, or I was like cleaning and I was listening to y'all and like, when people come back to us. So I think you had just expressed it earlier, like community, like here's this cool, safe place where we all get to wave our woo and like tell our truth and be in touch with the magic all the time and not be afraid to speak it. Because I think that's, you know, obviously one of our top goals is to normalize this craft and really like celebrate what can happen when we change our mental states, vibrations, channel, whatever, like however we want to talk about the capacity to speak to a different dimension, it just lights up the dimension we're walking in. And I think that's my main desire is to continue to share that message and to like be in community and really share these incredible mediums and other super cool people that are coming on this season.
Yeah.
What about
me
you?
Too. Yeah. Some of the responses that I've gotten from people have been that they've had these experiences and didn't really know what to make of them or have kind of like shoved them in the closet and not acknowledged them.
Right.
And now they're realizing, oh, this really is something. This is real. Yeah. And then there are other people that have had experiences that might have scared them when they're little, but they just didn't have the education or the vocabulary to define it. And so it didn't seem normal or okay. So I think that's what's really interesting to me. And just like, you know, connecting people, connecting stories. Someone hears this story and it makes them realize that they have the ability to do this too. Just the connective community quality of it is just really exciting to me. It makes me so happy.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I also think like, you know, we're really spirit led. Sometimes I find that a cheesy saying, but let's just run with it. 'Cause it's true. Like we're opening up and we're saying what is required right now? Like, how can we help? I think that's my main, like, how can we help? And what you just described is helping people because they're like, oh, that did happen. And it was scary, but I understand what you're saying about it not being scary or whatever. Like, however we're helping is just making me feel so happy.
Yeah. I think normalizing it, letting people know that, you know, we're able to connect with this team, our loved ones who are around us all the time. Makes things so much more fun.
Did we ever say what the topic of this episode is?
I think you said activate or action. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah. So we want to talk about today, along with this catch up on this new season, is how we can take action in our daily lives to invite the magic. So,
well, can I just share? We just got on this call today and I dusted my mic off and I could tell you're feeling like a little anxious about everything that's going on in your life. And I just had a reading that was, it was a non-reading. So I was just trying to recover from that.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how about have a good reading? I was like, oh, you need some support from the other side. And your gram just came through. She was just like, with her quips and her short sense of humor and bringing out some of her wisdom for you. And it just, I was like able to connect to her right then and there and give you, I hope, a little bit of comfort.
Oh my gosh, so much. It was perfect. I was like, let's remind Sarah what a great medium she is. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Well, and you are.
The first thing I heard was, put them in your little marsupial pouch. And I was like, marsupial? What's a marsupial? It's like a kangaroo, but I didn't say kangaroo. I said marsupial. And you're like, oh, I totally get marsupial.
You can totally take that.
Koala.
When I was a little girl. You, right? Yeah, I was obsessed with koalas when I lived in Texas when I was a little girl. And my gram lived with us when I was a little girl. So my room was like covered in rainbows and koalas. And so her calling out, oh, it's 4:44 on the East Coast right now. Her calling out marsupial was such a beautiful way of like lasering in on here's some evidence and also like a really good piece of note, like put the kid in the marsupial pouch and go, like, this is life. Life is happening and you're the mama. Go be the mama, you know? And like, just what a sweet, snuggly image. He's 5'11", yeah. So it might be hard. We'll see how we do.
She also gave me like fuzzy car dice. And
she had those in her.
I'm
seeing them in my mind. I'm almost positive she had this rad little red car when I was really young. We'll check with Heidi, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. So,
oh, that's so cool.
So, talk about the magic. We both were a little.
Her message on that was, you've got to play the game to win.
Oh my God, right. You got to play the game to win. And I was like,
yeah.
Whoa. The Monopoly pieces are big and scary right now, but yeah, you gotta play the game a bit.
Aww.
Yeah. Good job, Marcia. And really beautiful job, Sarah. Thank you.
Well, she is so willing and happy and able to give you that guidance.
And she's the OG with you too, right? You know.
She was like one of the very first people that I brought through. So
yeah. So you got the hotline.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So Sarah, tell me, what do you do? I mean, I've heard you say some pretty extraordinary things about how you bring the magic in your daily life, but obviously from the context of being a medium, but also just like being a human on earth, like how do you make sure that you're in touch with magic as you walk your days?
I think just noticing it. I think you have to notice it. You have to be able to see it. I mean, one thing is just not being so involved in that negative conversation in your head that you're oblivious to everything that's happening around you.
Right.
And another way is just to being open to it. This just popped into my head. This wasn't me that was open to it, but it was my daughter. And I noticed what it was. You know, quite often I'll hold her hand as she's falling asleep. She's still little.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
And we'll hold hands as she's falling asleep, drifting off. And she got the giggles. And I was like, what is it? She's like, oh, that guy's picking his nose. Like, who?
What guy?
Who's picking his nose? She's like, I see a construction worker. I was like, really? She's like, yeah, but I only see him from his nose down and he's picking it. And I was like, huh, why is he picking his nose? And she's like, oh, he just wants to make me laugh.
And then
she drifted off to sleep.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Her spirit guides are hilarious.
I know. I know. But, you know, like I'm glad I was able to be there and I didn't add any fear for her because
right.
I think
right.
you know, that could be fearful for somebody.
Except and, boogers are funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And it just was, it was just normal. I was just like, it was just a normal experience to be drifting off to sleep and to have someone make you giggle.
Oh my God, so precious. And her little hand in yours was like, I just want to ball, boohoo.
Oh yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
She's not gonna wanna do that forever.
Oh my gosh. Right. So that's it. And one of the ways that I would add to that is like, obviously you notice it, but you can also like really specifically ask for it. Like,
yeah.
So the story that jumps to my mind is when we were deciding to move to Hawaii, like 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, whatever the math is. It was so scary. It didn't make any sense. Most things in my life don't make much sense, but that doesn't stop me. And so Joe and I were talking to this woman that we met, or I met at Arthur Findlay, super cool medium from Mexico. And she was like, you know, you need to ask the angels. Obviously, you just ask the angels. And I was like, right, duh. Obviously, I asked the angels. Hi, thanks for the great reminder, you know? And then she's like, I said, okay, we're on it. And so then, and Joe, my husband, is so cute, y'all. And I mean, ridiculously cute, this human. And so he really is. And we just both kind of were like, how do we do it? And I'm like, okay, I know how to do this. Like, hi, angels. Can you guys give us like really clear signs? We need three. We need three really clear signs. Can you make that happen? Many thanks. Love ya. You know, so then we went about our day. We were over at Ocean Beach in San Francisco. And all of a sudden I see this license plate and it says like KK on board, which is KK is like
K-E-I-K-I.
Right. And I didn't know that, but I was like, I think that's child in Hawaiian. And Joe's like, that sounds familiar. And it had the little slippers, you know, little flip flops on the, so I was like, that is that. And I was like, okay, sign number one. Good job, angels. That second, y'all, I looked down on the radio is like, you know, we're streaming some playlist and the song is Hawaii.
Oh, God,
right? I'm like, nice. Nice. And then at the time we were going to rent this house from this woman named Judy and we hadn't heard from her and we were worried that she had changed her mind. And honestly, we were like, all we need now is Judy. And we like drove under the street sign that said Judah. I was like, I'll take it. There's Judy. Yep. And like the next day she reached back. She's like, yeah, absolutely. Here's the lease, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, obviously we made it out here, but angels are fancy.
Yeah.
So
They give you what you need, but you need to know how to ask for it.
And it turns out you can be real awkward. Like we were, hi, angels. you don't have to be very, you don't have to be like praying it up perfectly or whatever. You can just be like, hey, we need help.
But can I add something to that though?
Of course.
I've done a number of readings now for people. And a lot of times it's their very first reading with a medium. Yeah. And they will have a sign in their head that they need in order to believe any of it's true. And you might be able to bring through like the relationship of the communicator who comes through, the name that they call them, other relational facts, and they'll still need to have that exact specific sign that they're looking for. So I think, and then there's just the huge let up for disappointment if it doesn't happen.
Right.
So I think there's an importance in being flexible for the creativity of spirit, because that sign might just be right around the corner later on. It might not happen exactly when you need it, the way you think it's going to happen.
Well, I guess part of what might be worth mentioning right now is kind of the trinity of that communication, right? It's like that spirit, the person who's asked for the reading, and then the us. So there's three players in this conversation. So if you've got this really rigid concept of what needs to come through, you're not allowing for like the full picture of like anything can happen, anything can come through. But if you're sort of demanding, like, I need this particular thing, that spirit is going to be going crazy trying to figure out how to get that through. But that medium might not hear it that way. And it's, so there's got to be, my perception is there has to be some more flow and openness and like, let's just see what happens feeling about it. Like, yeah. That's what I would hope for in a reading is like, hey, it's an adventure. Here we go. We don't even know if we're going to see the biggest ball of twine or not. Like, let's just go on the road trip of, hey, spirit, what's up? Here's what spirit says, as opposed to, you better say this. And then the poor medium going, it's confusing because they're talking about coins from 1951. And then you're like, ding, 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 ding. That's what it was. I wanted a coin from 1951. But that's, you know, I mean, mediums can pull that off. But yeah, I hear you. It's sort of like there needs to be an openness. And I like that creativity, because it was like, they didn't say Judy. Well, they said Judah.
Right.
And we knew it.
Exactly. It. Right.
We were like, and that, oh, that's
you could
it,
feel right it. You right could feel the resonance. It resonated with you.
Yeah. We're like, oh my God, how amazing. The timing of it, the everything of it. It was like, Judah Street has existed long before we needed a sign.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, our mentor for our mentorship, he talks about communication with spirit being inspirational. Mm. So that just, I mean, it puts it in a broader perspective, yet makes it seem more magical to me, inspirational. I think that's a really, really awesome way of looking at it.
Yeah. So instead of being so tactical and give me this piece of evidence and let me know that you are, it's like, what's the inspiration? And then all of the magic can come through. It seems like it makes it like the aperture bigger, as opposed to yeah. more narrow, right? It's like, oh, here's the inspiration. It looks like this. And then everything's available, as opposed to put it right here.
And sometimes it just takes a lot of time too. I think you have to be ready. And I think you do have to give it time. Can I share with you a story about my husband?
Of course.
My dear, sweet husband, who I love so much.
So much.
His dad crossed when he was 21 and he's a lot older than that now, but he I think asked for a sign years and years ago of a dragon, because his dad was from Wales, along with an anchor. His dad was also a sailor and had a tattoo of an anchor. Uh-huh. And they needed to be together, a dragon and an anchor. And I was like, have you gotten your sign? I checked in with like, nope. And years went by, nothing. And I was just like, how can I make this happen? However, we were in Wales visiting with family 2 summers ago, and we went to visit his dad's grave at the cemetery. And after that, we went to get some lunch and we were sitting outside, and you know that little game, Spot It? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you know that game? It's like a little card game where you flip them over and you compete with somebody else, whatever little 5-year-old you're playing with, to see whoever spots the commonality first between the two cards.
Yeah, it's like a magic game kind of.
I looked at it and I saw a dragon and an anchor.
On one card?
On that card. On one card.
Oh my God.
Oh, honey, take a look at this. Right after we saw your dad.
Chills.
Here is the card. It's right here. And so that was just like such a sweet little confirmation right there. But I was like, you know, I had to be looking for it, and I had to tell him about it because he wasn't looking for it. So sometimes it takes team.
Takes team. Yeah. Oh, so sweet. Yeah, it's so true. And then our friend who is going to be coming on soon from our class was talking about how you can keep a journal of all the magic. Yeah. And that's such a good tactical way, because if you know at the end of the day, it's kind of like a gratitude journal or anything where you're consistently looking for it, you will find it all day long. Then of course, yesterday I was having such a hard day. I was like, I texted you. I'm like, I'm getting 443, 112, 556. What's wrong?
I think my advice was like, we got to go to bed, honey.
Bedtime. I was all upset. It's like, I'm so used to seeing the 444s and the 111s.
Yeah, it's time to call it.
It's just time to rest. Exactly.
Yeah,
Spirit's rest. Like, just settle down, little lady. Yay. Okay. Well, that's all really good. I really love all that.
You want to know something else I just started?
I can't wait.
And this was based on Lauren Robertson's book that we talked about last season.
Yeah.
Is a gratitude journal for your readings. So when you have a reading, a lot of times it's really easy to focus on what doesn't work or what you wish you could have done better. But instead of focusing, just list all the hits you got, all the wins, all the little bits of amazingness that you were able to pull through. And just having a record of that, I feel like manifests it.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, just like anything, where you put your attention is going to grow. Like I've been like, I'm ready for names. I need names. And the other day,
some lately, right?
I have. Yeah. The other day I was like, I'm hearing Jim. Who's Jim? And she's like, you're talking to Tim. I was like, okay, it's pretty close. Like we're getting
there. Just one letter off.
I'm like, I need to tune up my ears a little bit more, but we're getting there. And then I actually had a family name, which was crazy.
Oh, like a last name. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. And like, you know, of course, like the next reading, I'm like, dog, cat, shapes. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's like, it just so depends. And we just have to be so sweet with ourselves because.
Right.
Everything that's coming is in support. And sometimes the support looks like today's not a reading. So you just don't know.
I had that happen today. Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't meant to be, but it was still a very cool experience for me anyhow.
Yes, exactly. So, okay.
We touched a little bit on the writing aspect of it. And I know that Elizabeth Gilbert does this on her Substack, which is Letters from Love, right?
Yep, right.
And exactly. I think we've talked a little bit on this podcast already about, I know for years and then the very beginning of my whole, I feel like spiritual awakening in combination with meditating, you know, when you get in that meditative state mm-hmm. and you clear your mind of all thoughts, mm-hmm. you pick up a pen and paper and you just write like, what do I need to know for my highest good?
Yeah.
And some of the most amazing stuff has come out that way, such wisdom and answers to questions and guidance and poems. I've gotten a lot of beautiful poems, and I know you do this too, right?
Yeah. I heard about it originally before she opened up that Substack and Letters from Love. Like, gosh, it was back in 21. I heard her on Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things. And she mentioned that she does this. It's like her daily practice. Dear God, what would you have me know today? That's how I heard it originally. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did pretty consistently for like a year and a half every day. I would say, dear God, what would you have me know today? And they always go, dear one, today is a day for joy, or today is a day for rest. And I also have this hilarious experience of like when I'm meditating, I imagine God sitting next to me and then God will wear a particular costume.
That's brilliant.
So like if I'm flying, for example, I used to fly a lot more than I do now, there would be a pilot costume on God. And then he would joke, or she or whatever it is, would be like, remember, you're the co-pilot. I'm the pilot. Or, you know, like I just have these like hilarious engagements. One time God was wearing a onesie and I was like, oh, it's a cozy day. We're going to keep a cozy. Like one of those little onesies.
Hilarious. That's so cute.
It's very entertaining. I crack up in all my meditations because God is very funny. So I was telling one of my friends who was a listener, and she's been doing it, and her higher self, God, whoever, comes back with poet, like rhymes like that.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. So it's just like this sweet access to our higher self, our God, or whatever of our higher self understanding. And boy, it is wisdom. It is not our own personalities. It's something else.
I've had some really incredible experiences doing this. Like, I feel like there's like a collective of people who were really into this when they were embodied. Like, I feel like in my crew, who's a part of it is like Albert Einstein and William James. And okay, so this sounds crazy, listeners, but just bear with me.
Hang in.
Okay. So I was thinking a lot about different dimensions, and when I was meditating, like getting to a different dimension, a higher dimension, spirit dimension, like I equated that with outer space, right? Like I wasn't quite getting the fact that it's all within me and I was just looking outwards instead of focusing inwards. Cause you know, you hear people say, just focus inward. And I couldn't get that. And I wish I had it. I don't know where it's written. It's written, scribbled in one of my notebooks somewhere. And I can't exactly remember what it was, but it was Albert Einstein. I was like, what? Albert Einstein? And he said something about, just as this constellation is to that constellation, you are thinking of higher realms, the spirit world being a constellation, and it's still the physical. Like it is still the physical. These constellations, as far out in space as you're thinking of, that's still the physical world.
Oh, fascinating.
And I wish I could find it written now because it was much more eloquent than I'm saying it now, but it's like, oh, I get it. I can understand that now. It's like, oh, right. And then like for weeks after that, everywhere I looked, I was seeing Albert Einstein, like pictures of his face, or like his name would come up in something, or my kid would be talking about it and learning about him in school. It was just everywhere, everywhere, everywhere I looked. It was like either Albert or Einstein, and everywhere. And still to this day, like I'll always perk up and pay attention when I hear his name.
Wow. That is so rad. It kind of speaks to this idea that if in fact the everything is the everything and we have access to it, and that just absolutely trusting what we're getting from the everything. So you chatted to the everything and Einstein piped up basically. Yeah. I mean, it's like, is that kind of what happened? Yeah. Right. And that isn't crazy. That is like one profoundly beautiful, like beam of light of the everything has his name on it.
Just trusted it and took it for what it was. And then it just like added so much richness and magic to my everyday. Like,
yeah. And evidence.
Concepts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like that time I was walking through the museum in Florida and all of a sudden I heard George O'Keefe in my head and I was like, oh yeah, this is where they really send the mediums to the crazy booth. You know, I was like, here's where I really lose it. Like, but she was so loud, y'all. And I was like super clear that it was not me or my imagination, because she would say things that were like, there's just no, that it was, you know, not me. And I wrote about this on my Substack, which I can share the link in the show notes. It was like a really cool experience. But then of course, now I have this like profound kinship with her and her energies. And then like, obviously 1,000,000,000 people do. She played such a huge role in sort of like our cultural various revolutions, art, women, like all kinds of cool things came of it. But you opened up Facebook the other day and there she was, and you like sent that to me, because I feel of her as kind of like my creative guardian. Because, you know, as I step back into my own creative work, filmmaking and art making and all the rest, it's, you need some badass artists on your team.
Right. And I do feel like we channel all of those who've come before.
Right.
Who've had an interest in this. Oh, that makes me remember like this other really cool story. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
So I mentioned earlier that William James could come into my awareness. As like one of the people who was in this collective who was just helping me pump out these beautiful writings. And I've posted some of those on my personal website, like just these gorgeous writings of wisdom.
Yeah.
And I was watching, let's see, I wrote it down. I was watching Suzanne Giesman, who talks about William James quite a bit and channeling him, or just things coming through for her from him. And she was talking about a visitor in spirit. And before she mentioned who he was, I knew it. I was like, it's William James. And sure enough, it was William James. So later on in that day, I was getting ready for a reading, and I always meditate before I give readings. And this man with a long beard, who was like kind of turn of the century, 20th century, he came in, and he was with a woman. And let's see, this woman that he was with, like she was kind of plain looking, like short hair, and I didn't know who she was. So just previously to this, I was giving all these readings, and I'd get the name Gertrude, and I'd say Gertrude, and the sitter would be like, no. I was like, who is Gertrude? And like always, I give another reading. I was like, okay, well, the name Gertrude's coming up again. And I'd say, okay, I'm getting that. Because I always give the names that I'm getting. And I'd be like, I'm getting the name Gertrude. They're like, no. It's like, okay.
Damn it.
So I'm there and I've got William James, and he is with Gertrude Stein.
Oh my God.
I know. And he says to me, look it up. So after I'm done meditating, I looked up Gertrude Stein, and I had no idea that this was, that they had a relationship with each other, like a working relationship with her. And she was a student of psychology of William James Radcliffe, where she participated in experiments of normal motor automatism, a phenomenon hypothesized to occur in people when their attention is divided between two simultaneous intelligent activities, such as writing and speaking. And these experiments yielded examples of writing that appeared to represent the stream of consciousness.
Oh, crazy.
Isn't that exactly crazy?
What you were doing.
Which is exactly what I was doing. Oh. I know. And they're there just hanging out, being like, hey, we're here. Hey,
hello.
That's what you're interested. Doing. Yeah. And like, I had zero idea that, like, I didn't know much about Gertrude Stein. And lo and behold, she and William James had been working together on exactly what I was doing. Isn't that wild?
That's so cool. Of course, you have no, like, you had no context for that. And then you look it up. And I love that they're like, look it up. Look it up.
Just look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that Frida Kahlo has kind of been another character for me. And I was once, I don't even remember what I was doing. I was doing a healing session for someone, and suddenly she popped through. I was like, whoa, I think that's Frida Kahlo. And then I happened to be wearing like short pajamas, and I was like, I think she thinks I'm cute. What? Like, it was like the weirdest experience. I'm like, well, you flatter yourself, silly. But I was like, and then I'm like, oh, was she into women? And then she said the same thing. Look it up. And I was like, turns out she was like hanging with Georgia, maybe. So, I mean, rumors abound. But anyway, I like, how the frick, like, these are just things that we don't know that. And then we have to literally Google it. And then like spirits,
but
like,
that's
laughing.
A way to have fun. That's a way to experiment with it. It's a way to like check things. Like, you can in meditation, like, okay, spirit, give me somebody that I can fact check online, and then just see what comes in.
Yeah.
Just see what comes in. Like, you can check birthdays, you can check places where people were born, you can check, you know, someone had so many kids, so many had, you know, like, those are all verifiable things. And I've done that from time to time, which is really fun.
Okay. I know we need to close because we're getting close to time, but I want to add one more fun just game you can play that I play a lot is, what time is it? And you can just like tune into the everything and ask what time it is. And if you haven't looked at your phone in a long time or whatever, like the other day I was walking the beach and I was like, what time am I going to land back at the car? And I heard 7:05. And I was like, okay, what time is it now? And I heard 7:49. And I looked at my phone. It was 7:49 or 6:49. And then I got to the car and I was like, okay, when? Which second? When I'm holding it? When I, and at 7:05, I was like, good job. So
that's just so good.
Isn't that fun? I played that game with a kid too. What time is it? You know what it is.
Kids would love to play that game.
Yeah. It's amazing, but it's tuning, right? It's all, these are all tuning. That's such a, you know, musician lady. Like, we're tuning our little instrument. Mm-hmm. And then like with all the yeses, the yeses, and the experiences of like getting that back, maybe putting it in a journal, maybe whatever, we just can.
Celebrating them.
celebrating them, telling your friends, and you trust it.
Yeah. And trust what you're getting. Right. Yeah. Yeah, all those Gertrude Steins going through in readings. No.
No.
Not why anybody's are we talking name about Gertrude? I know. I know. But as soon as I identified Gertrude,
you're like,
then she stopped showing up in my readings.
Oh my gosh. She's like, well, she's open. Door's open. I better pop through so she can hear me.
Try Gertrude.
God bless us. We're doing so good.
Hey, how was the eclipse? You went and saw the eclipse, right? Like you to be in the path of it.
The eclipse was so cool, y'all. I was very committed to that. 6 months ago, I booked in an Airbnb for like a normal price and I booked it. Like I was like on it, which is not my usual style of things. And it was super cloudy. It was crazy cloudy. And I'm texting Sierra and I'm going, the clouds is what we're not going to see it. And then you said,
I said, imagine there being a hole. The clouds are going to move. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. You just have to know that it's going to happen.
And luckily,
and then I said, remember what I did when I was at Stonehenge.
Exactly. And we'll go back to that in a second. So I was like, right, she did it. She cloud busted it at Stonehenge. So, or you can say what happened. But then I had also read that something about the temperature drop will potentially move clouds. So I had Sarah reminding me about cloud busting and Google. And sure enough, I mean, it was crazy magical. Like it was like complete cloudy. You'll never see anything in your life to like twilight stars. Beautiful. We could totally see it. It was stunning and very like magical. So,
well, just everybody's attention and awareness on that at that moment everywhere is just really delightful.
It's better than the Super Bowl. Yeah. I always get excited when everyone's attending to one thing, but yeah. Yeah. So tell us about Stonehenge really quick, because we really should.
Well, we were in England a couple summers ago, and it was that really hot summer where runways were melting because it was like 100 and something degrees. It was just really hot. And, you know, we were just traveling around. My husband's family lives in England, and we had all of these different places we needed to go and people to see. And I was like, can we please stop at Stonehenge? I know it's here. And he's like, of course, let's do it. So anybody who's been there knows that you have to park, I think it's like at least a mile away from where Stonehenge actually is. And you can ride a bus to see it. And I think, you know, we were in between. It would have taken quite some time. We would have had to wait in this really long line to go get on the bus. And my husband was like, let's just walk. And we have three kids and it was really hot and there was no shade and we're walking and the little one's up on her brother's shoulders and we're taking turns carrying her. And I was just like, okay, and it was like bluebird skies. I was like, I'm going to manifest a cloud over the sun so that when we get there, we're not really hot. And sure enough, by the time we got there, there was a cloud that came and moved right in front of the sun that brought us some relief from the baking sun. And then some other clouds started to move in too. But it was that cloud right in front of the sun that just like, I was like, oh, made it so much better, so much more tolerable and made the experience so much better. And I had gone there like, it's like, this is a portal. This is amazing.
So magic.
Like, there's going to be some sort of magic that happens while we're here. And I was on the bus leaving and I don't know if I wasn't disappointed. It was really cool to be there, but it still felt like a very touristy thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, what about this experience do I need to know? And I heard, build something new. I heard this was new technology. This was the newest technology when it was made. And that's what this was about. And you're here to create new things, new experiences. You're here for the new, for the growth, for the expansion. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Isn't that cool?
Oh man, good job! Like tuning in and saying, "All right, what's the message?" Yeah. I instead created an Instagram reel, but when I went to Stonehenge,
well, you created something.
Okay, yeah, so we were creating something new. Oh, thank you for that beautiful story. I love it so much. It's so encouraging, especially when life gets a little hard and weird. You know, like if Sarah can manifest a cloud in the middle of a bluebird sky, like you can too. You can find your way through this hard thing. And, you know, Like the last thing I'll put a plug in is for angel cards, and you can get apps on your phone. Cause like I'm in this huge decision moment and I keep like consulting the angels. I'm like, guys, and it's so helpful because the stuff they bring down is not so crazy on point. So oracle cards and all that stuff can be really helpful too.
Yeah, it actually really blows my mind every single time I pull an oracle card and how relevant it is to the situation that I'm in at that very moment.
Surreal.
It always blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, I feel like we should wrap it right up. But okay. I just say to you, thank you for spending this time with me and just hanging out in the magic.
I'm so
grateful.
Thank
you, listeners, for
we're so grateful for you, you listeners.
You cute, cute listeners. We do love you.
Love
you. Ow, I will squeeze you. So let's make that happen sometime at the end of this season.
Next week. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Season 2. Bye.
Bye.
Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, podcast consulting.
Mix by podcast engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen McKee, photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.